On with Mario Lopez.
What's up? You're on with Mario Lopez. Joining me now in studio from the new Battle of the Network Stars, Mr. Tom Arnold.
Hey, Mario.
How are you, sir?
Buddy, how are you, man?
I'm great, man.
How many jobs do you have? I just asked you that.
Well, I'm trying to stay busy out of trouble. A few.
You have a lot of jobs, man.
Well, feeling blessed at the moment right here.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about Battle of the Network Stars because I used to love that show.
Yeah, I used to, too. Yeah, then I did it.
No,
I'm kidding. Like, you know how something loses a little sparkle once you do it?
Yeah.
You know, you like watch a show with your dad when you're a kid. You're like, this is amazing. And you see these people you idolize and they're doing something that's out of their comfort zone. Like, you're like, boy, I hope one day I grow up and I'm such a big star that I get to compete against O.J. Simpson and, Bruce Jenner. And then, that's not going to happen.
Great example.
It's not going to happen. But no, it was very fun. And it is funny because you say to yourself, it's a dumb show. We're doing these dumb things. But it's very, then all of a sudden you get real competitive.
Well, yeah. What are the events? Because they had real track and decathlon events
too,
back in the day.
The guys that created the original ones are involved with this one.
Okay.
So it was fun because between every take, I got to ask them a bunch of questions because I loved the original so much.
Yeah.
Howard Cosell was one of the hosts.
Right.
And I got to ask the inside scoop and it was great. And then, you know, there was 10 events and there's a little tennis and there's a little golf and there's a lot of stuff. There's a tug of war. There's an obstacle course. Tug of war I'm good at.
Nice.
You know, at the University of Iowa, we won the National College Tug of War Championship, hosted by, remember those Miller Lite commercials with the athletes?
Yeah.
Boog Powell was our referee, and he got so drunk that he passed out before the competition started, and so we got to carry him out. That's my best memory from college. it was fun. It was close. It went right to the end, and I pretended I didn't care, but I really cared at the end.
Yeah.
I was actually lighting people up for the tug of war because I knew how to do a tug of war.
Yeah.
And it was really important that we won.
Yeah, that was correct.
I can't say who won, but it was really important.
Okay. And you represent Team TV sitcoms.
Yeah.
Were you happy with your teammates? Who else was on your team?
You know what? I was surprised by people. I didn't know them. I did Dave Coulier. I know he's a comedian.
Okay.
Yeah. And all the guys were, I recognize her. Just imagine the guys you remember from the 80s, except fatter. And that's us.
That ought to help on Tug of War.
The women all look good, and they're better athletes than the guys. And then there was a guy that played Balky. He was so funny.
Yes.
And remember the Eddie Murphy movie?
Of course.
He was so funny. Except he looks the same. He's thicker with darker hair. And I thought he would be would not be good, but he was up for anything. And so I respect him.
Nice.
And Bronson Pinchot.
Nice. Yeah, Bronson Pinchot.
I respect
Pinchot,
him.
Yes.
He literally would try anything.
Perfect Stranger.
The obstacle course,
show.
Whatever. So I was the weak link on our team. And so everybody was cool.
But not in tug of war.
Yeah, not in tug of war. Yeah. He's the anchor there. And you were going up against Team TV Kids. Joey Lawrence, Kim Fields.
Yeah,
how was
Kim
that
Fields?
Team?
By the way, Kim Fields. Wow, she is underrated, man. As we got to tug of war,
Tootie's underrated.
Tootie's underrated. Let me tell you something. Tug of war. You know, I was the anchor on our team because I was the biggest. You know, and but don't underestimate Tootie. She went to the front of her team, and she held tight. It was hard to get her over into the mud. And she is a solid, has a low center of gravity, and she is a tough chick, man.
Tootie's a beast.
I got a lot of respect for her.
All right.
And I enjoyed her a lot.
Now,
and, that Lisa, what was that on our team? What was her name? Was she from Facts of Life?
Lisa Welchel?
Yeah. She seemed like she was scared to death of me.
Did she really?
She was frightened because I'm so loud. She was just scared to death the whole time. But no, it was great. It was great.
Looking forward
and Joey Lawrence,
out.
You know, I played on his shows and I know his whole family and it's great. We had the best moment because they, you know how all these shows, they've got to one up the last show.
Right.
So I guess the last version of the show, they did a dunk tank. So right. This dunk tank, they put me 40 foot in the air on a perch, 40 feet in the air above the Pepperdine pool. And Joey Lawrence, it was his job to knock me off the perch. And the guy that created the show says, hey, you could try to psych him out. Give him a bunch of crap so he can't hit the thing and knock you off the perch. And he had a giant softball, and the target was huge. It was really easy. So I just started in on him. I said, Joey, I played your father, and it shows I'm like a father to you and to your brothers. Your mother loves me. If you knock me off this perch, she's going to hate you. She's going to hate you. I've done so much to your family. I saw he literally got tears in his eyes. I literally made him cry, and he was sweating, and you know he's bald now. Yeah. So you could really tell, and I got to him. He was shaking, and he could not see, and he could not throw the ball, and he couldn't knock me off the perch.
Wow.
And then Ronda Rousey steps in, their coach, and this is illegal, and I want to say this. I want a penalty on this. And she threw the ball and knocked me off the perch. And so I swam over to the side of the pool, and she was acting like she was going to help me out. Yeah. And I've got the angle on her, so you know I'm going to pull her in the pool.
Yeah.
And I grabbed her by the shoulders, and I'm 100 pounds more than her, right?
She get you an arm bar?
I grabbed her by the shoulders. She picked me straight up out of the water and slammed me on the cement.
Nice.
And it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
My kind of girl.
I love when women are mean to me. I almost married her on the spot.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Big turn on
She's awesome.
Frasier's got a Joey Lawrence story. He might tell us.
I told him, actually. I was at a restaurant. I saw Joey Lawrence and his brothers.
Yeah.
And they appeared to be celebrating a birthday party or something. And I guess one of the dishes came out wrong because he ordered his hamburger extra well done, which I don't know anyone who does that.
Can I have a beef jerky?
And he started.
Burger?
He was like screaming at the server.
Oh, that don't feel bad about yelling at him. Yeah, but let me say this too. Our coach was DeMarcus Ware. And by the way, when Michael Strahan, the first year of the Best in Sports Show, when he was a rookie, he was on our show, and I knew he had what it takes to be something more than an athlete. You could just tell certain guys.
Sure,
and DeMarcus Ware is one of these guys.
Okay,
he'll be in the Hall of Fame, but he's also got a second career. So I went to him and I said, hey, did you see what Ronda did to me, their coach? She body slammed me. You're my coach. What are you going to do about it? He's like, nothing. She'd do that to me too. Like, he's a giant.
Yeah.
He's afraid of her.
Better her than him.
What?
That was right there. Well, big announcement recently. There's a new comedy based on your life.
Yes.
Man, congrats. Tell me about
Paramount
that.
Paramount is doing. Yes. It's based on, a major screw up. It starts with a major screw up in my life where I.
Which one?
Well, I know there's been so many. I know you're not even being funny because there's so many. But it's the one where I tried to. I thought when I got out of rehab, I had so many amends to make. I thought I'd just condense them and save somebody's life really quick. Another addict, and I read the tabloid, so you know it's true. Peter Criss, the guy, the drummer for the band Kiss, and you could Google this story, was a homeless alcoholic drug addict living under the Santa Monica Pier. The guy that was the cat makeup, the drummer,
yeah.
And he was a hero of mine. So I was like, oh my gosh, I've got 20 minutes. I'll go down and save his life, and then God will love me. And so I go down there to the Santa Monica Pier, and I go to this guy. Did you see Peter Criss? He goes, you got 20 bucks? Yeah, sure. You know, and I keep walking. You see Peter Criss? You got 20 bucks? Yeah. Anyway, I end up under the Santa Monica Pier. This is 1990. It's a mess down there. I end up in this crack tent, and at the end of the crack tent is a dude playing a 50-gallon drum really slow, boy, but he's still got fans. And I go, are you Peter Criss? He's like, you got 20 bucks? I go, yeah. He goes, yeah, I'm Peter Criss. I go, good. I'm Tom Arnold. I'm here to save your life. I can't save all these other people's lives because I've only got 20 minutes. But anyway, so I throw him over my shoulders, and his fans start attacking me. They're like Night of the Living Dead, the zombies. And they start attacking me. So I have to fight my way out of there. And then I call the place where I went to rehab because I don't want to bring him there.
Right.
And they go, it's going to be 72 hours. So I got to keep him alive for 72 hours. So I called one of your competitors, because you guys were not on the air yet.
Mm-hmm.
Entertainment Tonight. Is that one of your competitors? And the anonymous part of the program had not sunk in when I was in rehab, apparently. I said, okay. This is Tom. I'm saving Peter Criss's life. Don't worry. He's a homeless alcoholic drug addict living under Santa Monica Pier. Anyway, so I had it all planned, and I put him in this motel, and I gave him beer because I'm not a monster. And then I go clear out his friends every 3 hours because they come over and smoke crack. Anyway, and day two, a woman called calls me. Hi, I'm his girlfriend from 10 years ago from Boston. I want to fly him out here and save his life. Oh. And I said, no.
Too late. Saving his
life. In 24 hours, he'll be in rehab, and then he's all yours. Because then I will get credit for saving his life, and people will like me again. Yeah. It was completely self-serving of me.
Wow.
Trust me. Anyway, I go to pick him up that day. The hotel manager meets me. Bad news, Tom. A limousine picked him up. I think he's on his way to Boston. And then I was like, oh my gosh, that woman would be on my back. Do I get any credit? Do I get half credit? Right. And then God works in mysterious ways, Mario. Credit. As you know, 6 hours later, the woman calls me. Oh my God, he's here. He's in my living room. He's throwing up all over the place. And he's not Peter Criss.
Oh my gosh.
So in my defense, he did not have his cat makeup on when I rescued him. So now, the real Peter Criss is completely sober. He's home watching TV, and he turns on the TV and sees Tom Arnold going, Peter Criss is a homeless, alcoholic, drug addict, crackhead living under the Santa Monica Pier. So he sues me immediately. Now, the Santa Monica police come to my house and arrest me for kidnapping this random dude who was living in Santa Monica Pier, and now he's in Boston, and for fighting his friends. They charge me with assaulting his friends. So I'm in big trouble. I'm in the police station. And by the way, that guy in Boston, the anonymous guy, that woman kicks him out of her house, so he's in real trouble. I think who's sober in Boston? Aerosmith. I don't even know Steve Tyler or Joe Perry. I call them. They're such good people. They work such a good program. They go to rescue this guy and take a stranger to a rehab center and save his life.
Wow.
And that's the kind of people they are. And that's the kind of program you're supposed to work. Anyway, I'm at the Santa Monica Police Department. And the detectives are roughing me up. And they're like, you're in so much trouble. And Marty Singer is my lawyer. You know Marty. And he goes, you're in so much trouble. And when Marty Singer says you're in so much trouble. You're in trouble. Anyway, detective, the captain comes in and says, let me talk to him for a second. Would you guys give us a minute? He says, so you went down there to save this guy's life just to save his life? And I go, yeah. And he goes, I mean, you screwed everything up, but your intent was just to save this guy's life. I go, that's
right
what
place.
We do. That's what we do. We save each other's lives, and that's how we stay alive. And he goes, well, I'll tell you what, you do it one more time, and we'll consider dropping the charges against you. And I said, well, I'll do it 100%. I'll do it. He goes, there's a cop in this that works with us here that is going to be dead by this weekend, and we can't break into his house. You do that. You get him out of his house to rehab, and we'll drop the kidnapping charge. Here's his address. By the way, he has a lot of guns. And, and I go, does he have a dog? And he's like, no, he had a dog. But anyway, so they take me over to this cop's house in La Habra. They can't come in. They're at the curb. I bust out his door. I get him out of there. He doesn't have a lot of guns and a dog, but I get him out of there. By the way, the cops, they admitted, they're sat in the car outside. They're like, okay, now when he shoots Arnold, what we're going to say is Arnold was doing a home invasion and he had to kill him. And then we're going to get our friend to rehab and save his life. Like, they didn't care about me whatsoever. Anyway, I get him out of there. And then I end up doing 85 more of those. And it's a story about a guy that does it self-servingly, but then ends up kind of doing it for the right reasons.
That definitely beats my Joey Lawrence burger story.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. It's still better.
That's absolutely.
But I did it I was doing it for myself, to be selfish. And you could Google me because I was on TV looking like an idiot. But
you're sort of like Michael Landon in Highway to Heaven.
Yes, no, but he was doing it for the right reasons. I wanted people to like me, and then I screwed it up, and then I. But since then, I've, And by the way, there's a lot of compassionate. I work with the police, and I work with the DEA, and I'm on the U.S. Drug Court, and there's a lot of FBI agents, and a lot of people around this country that you would be surprised, and judges that care about people and want to give people a second chance. And, that's what we do, and considering I'm an addict too, anyways.
That's fascinating.
Yeah,
congrats. Thanks for sharing that. It's looking forward.
But what's sad is I've worked for 30 years in this business. I've done a million things, and yet I'm not famous or popular enough to play myself in a show about myself.
So have they cast Tom Arnold yet?
No, that's next.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Well, I want to talk about this podcast real quick. 100% honest.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah.
What kind of things do you talk about there?
Well, we do everything. I mean, the last thing we talked about, I had Dr. Drew was on 2 months ago, and he he warned me. We have a lot of comedians on. We have actors. You know, Sharon Stone was on a couple weeks ago. She cried, not because of me. Dr. Drew warned me when my son turned 4, I would have issues because when I was 4 is when I don't want you to be this to be bummed out, but it was when my mom left and then turned me over to a really bad person and bad things happened. And I laughed at him because I take care of that as an adult. When he turned within 2 weeks of him turning 4, I ended up in a facility and we talked about that and the benzos that I was taking that what the effect that they had on me and a friend of mine, Chris Cornell, who was talking to his wife 1 minute and the next minute he committed suicide. And I've seen that happen 5 times people don't talk about benzos. They talk about other drugs and there's a psychosis that goes along with it. Yeah. But we talk about comedy a lot.
Sure.
But I'm also, I got to be honest about my stuff and maybe help people because, if you share your mistakes, maybe it will connect with somebody else.
Exactly. And it makes it relatable.
So,
that's great.
And so we talk about everything. I want you to come on there sometime.
Okay, we can talk about this. We can get in there, get a little deep right there.
Yeah,
you mentioned your 4-year-old. How many kids do you have?
I have a 4-year-old and I have a 18-month-old daughter, my first children.
Congratulations. A little nice later in life, right? You can appreciate them.
Well,
a little more
I tried there. Earlier in life, but since there is a God, it happened later in life at the right time with the right woman. And God bless the other women for trying too. And I'm 58. And so when my daughter gets bat mitzvah, I'll be dead. I'm blessed. I'm very blessed. And, it is a little better. Yeah. If I had a kid when I was 18, I worked at a meatpacking plant. My girlfriend said she was pregnant. I thought, okay, that's it. I'm going to work here 50 years like my grandpa. And fortunately, I found out I had a low sperm count. It was impossible. And
she was genuine.
Through modern science and 25 rounds of in vitro, it's happened. And I am very, very blessed.
Congratulations. And, that's awesome.
I'm very happy.
Good for you, man. Good for
you. And you have to stay young. We have kids. And you have kids, right?
Yeah. I got a couple, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does. The energy. That's the only thing as you get older. Hey, what do you think about the Roseanne reboot that's happening?
I think it's great. I think I love the cast. It's funny because when we got divorced in 1994, people in our business were like, he will never work again. He has no talent. He wrote her coattails. He'll be back in Iowa in 2 weeks. And I was like, yeah, they're right. But I had 6 years working on one of the best shows ever on television. How many people from Iowa, Ottumwa, Iowa, could say that?
Right.
I'll be able to tell my grandkids that. And, Jim Cameron and Arnold Schwarzenegger were like, screw those people. Two Lives comes out in 2 weeks. And I was like, I wish I could believe that. But it was a wonderful experience. And I think it'll be great. They're great actors and great writers. And I know Whitney Cummings is writing it. And she's a person who used to go on the road with me and open up for me. And now she's far past me. And I wish the best for Roseanne and John. And there's not a better actress on the planet than Laurie Metcalf. I hope it's great.
That's awesome.
Will and Grace is back. I'm so happy for those guys. And we'll see what happens.
We will see what happens.
Knock on wood.
And we're going to see in a lot of stuff. Be sure to check out his podcast, 100% Honest, pretty much.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Battle of the Network Stars airs Thursday on ABC. You can follow him on Twitter, at Tom Arnold. Thanks so much for coming by, man.
Thank you,
really
buddy.
Enjoyed the
stories. I'll see you, man.
Great to see you, too.
On with Mario Lopez.